Welcome in to Myths, the Roundtable. Joining me this week, Andrew Dewhurst, Dave Pepping, and J.R. Fenton. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, man. How about you?
Pretty good. Dave?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
J.R.?
Doing good. Be better if the Sixers were recovering right now, but they're hanging in there.
Yeah, that team can't play defense in the fourth yet.
Oh, I know.
All right, but do a little shopkeeping here. Going to get you everybody on Twitter. Andrew is at Andrew K. Dewhurst.
That's right.
Dave is at Brew Crew Prep. And JR is at John Russell 215. I'm 610 myself, JR, but pretty close to the 215.
I respect it. I was a 609 growing up, so 610 sweet.
There you go. All right, so last week I neglected to explain where MIFS comes from. So what it stands for is My Idiot Fantasy Friends. And you know, it sounds like a negative thing, but it's really a good thing. You know, it's a term of endearment. People I play fantasy with, talk fantasy with. It's kind of like Goodfellas. You say he's a good fella. He's one of us. So that's where that comes from for any new listeners on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits side.
Yeah, he's a myth. You know, he's a good guy. He's a myth.
Great comp.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget about it.
And, you know, while we're talking about Friends with Fantasy Benefits, you guys can get all kinds of great fantasy information over there, friendswithfantasybenefits.com. And if you're looking for a draft guide for upcoming fantasy baseball leagues, FWFB has got a great one. It's available on their site, on Amazon. Definitely check it out.
It's absolutely amazing. It's not like ESPN's or something like that. It's a real great detailed draft guide. You guys got to check that out.
Yeah, but built by real people playing fantasy, not guys sitting in a studio. And it's a really, really good value. Probably priced lower than almost any draft guide out there just because Justin wants to get it in people's hands. All right, so to explain the format, you know, we're doing the roundtable today. We're talking NFBC ADP 26 through 75. Anybody at home who wants to check that out, just Google NFBC ADP. Jump in there, check it out. So we're going to go round one. Everybody's going to present an undervalued player in that range. Then two of the guests are going to move on. We're going to have a toss-up on Eric Hosmer, who's right there in the early 70s. And the winner of that is going to get to provide who they think is an overvalue for that range. But before we jump into that, I wanted to ask you guys how the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational is going for you. Andrew, what's your team shaping up like in the Invitational?
Things look good. Wrapped up my draft today.
Oh, nice.
I think I got some good values. Had some guys fall to me pretty early. So,
Who do you think out of your team is going to give you the most value?
Well, I hope it's Maximum Scherzer, because I drafted him in the first round. So if he doesn't deliver me the most value, I'm probably in trouble. But I got some good values. Got Corey Seager in the fourth, Donaldson in the third. Nice. You know, was able to get a guy like Chad Green pretty late. Which is going to be some nice value getting, you know, hopefully 100 plus strikeouts out of him in relief. So.
Right. He even has a shot at making the rotation if they run into injuries.
Yeah, I kind of hope that doesn't happen, though. I'd rather keep him in the bullpen and
more effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think he's just a two-pitch pitcher, so he could be. I don't see him being Chris Archer, so, you know, give me the strikeouts and keep the ratios down in the pen.
Is there anybody you picked and makes you a little bit nervous?
I picked Tanaka, and I'm just waiting for that UCL to just tear.
Hanging on by a thread, man.
Yeah, but I think I got him in, like, I don't remember, it was the 9th or the 11th round. It was just one of those values, and I needed a second starter. So it was, you got to roll the dice, because, I mean, in a group full of sharks, which I think all 13 leagues are full of, you know, you're not going to, at that point in time, you're not going to get too much falling to you.
That's very true. All right, Dave, tell me a little bit about your invitational team. And for those of you at home, Dave was the second pick in the league that he and I are in together. I was the first pick. So I get sandwiched in there between.
Hey, some people would probably consider that a good thing. But, similar to Andrew, obviously you hope to get the most value out of your first pick. Wasn't any surprises. I got Altuve. So it's obviously a great contribution across the board. But the most value I think I could get is out of Ian Desmond. I got him in the ninth round in a 15-team league. And I think he could perform just as well as some of the outfielders that people were drafting in, you know, the third through fifth rounds. And he's shown that he can do it. You know, before he got hurt last year, he had six straight years of solid contribution across the board in basically five categories. So I was really happy to get him where I got him.
That was a nice spot for him. Anybody that you can get that's playing home games in Coors Field is a win in my book. Anybody you've selected that has you a little bit worried?
Yeah, in the seventh round, I grabbed Miguel Cabrera. Before last year, we all know who he was, but across the board, a lot of his advanced stats really fell last year. And, I kind of missed on a lot of the early first basemen that would have been good to have. So I grabbed him, hoping that he could maybe bounce back a little bit. But his advanced stats scare me a little bit, and his age, obviously. So we'll see what happens. Even if he can get to somewhere in between where he was last year and what he used to be, meet in the middle a little, I think it'll be a good pick. But he's probably the one that makes me the most nervous.
Yeah, you know, in the seventh round, that's about where you need the discount to be, because there is a chance that, you know, the backfield's good, he stays healthy, and he gets back into the 320, 330 batting average range with some power. All right, then JR, how's your team shaping up?
It's not too bad. We're closing in on round number 20 right now, so we still got a few ways to go. Kershaw fell to me all the way at 11th, which I thought was a steal.
Man.
Yeah, I'm a big Kershaw guy. He should be a top six, top seven guy, so I'll take that all day. I came around the turn with JD Martinez, so I was able to get my power with my stud arm, which I wanted. It's not bad. It's going well. I think Bradley's in it. He writes for Friends of Fantasy Benefits. I think his team's one of the best in the league. Very well run it.
Gotcha. And just so you guys know, JR is our returning champion. Managed to take Colin down last week on the back of an argument for JD Martinez. So let's jump right in. We'll start off with Andrew. Tell us who you think is undervalued.
Yeah, my
26 through 75.
Yeah, my picks: Caris Davis. With him going at, I think he's going around pick 70. If the ADP I've got is correct,
68.
Yeah. The reason why he's undervalued is if you look at his stats and you put him up against JR's boy, JD Martinez, if you can explain to me why one goes almost 50 picks later than the other, I'd love to hear it. Caris Davis has better history of hitting over 40 home runs. He's got a better history of providing you over 100 RBIs, and you're getting him at like a 47 pick discount. I think that's value that's tough to argue with.
I find him such an interesting case. All his time with the Brewers, everybody said like this guy has got 40 home run power, and he's in the best ballpark for it. And he gets traded to Oakland, you know, which is a pretty heavy pitcher's park, and that's where the 40 home run power comes out.
Yeah, I mean, some things are hard to explain, right? And sometimes maybe it's just coaching. It's a little bit environment, you know. Who knows? But
so for me with Caris Davis, you know, his power isn't in question. The park doesn't concern me. He hits the ball a long way. What would concern me with him is the lineup around him. Do you have any concerns with that Oakland lineup that pitchers are just going to be able to pitch around him when they need to?
Maybe in years past, but I mean, with Matt Chapman coming up and Matt Olson doing what he did last year, I mean, you have to remember the lineup this year is probably better than it was last year, and he still had 102 RBIs last year.
That's true. You know, I'm not a huge believer in Matt Olson. You know, I need to see a full season out of him. I don't think he's going to have anywhere near 40 home runs. But, yeah, that's why they play the games.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I think if you look at 30 home runs, that there's, you know, the potential for that's definitely there. And I think statistically it's been proven out that lineup protection's a myth. So, I mean, if he's done it before, I mean, he's over 40 home runs the last 2 years, over 100 RBIs the last 2 years. I don't see any reason why you're not going to get the same thing or better this year.
Dave or JR, anything to retort on that?
No, just that I wish that he had stuck with the Brewers for longer for when that broke out. I remember seeing that first season in Oakland where he started hitting the bombs, and it was sad to see.
Anything on your end, JR?
Andrew must be right in my camp with me because Chris Davis with a K is on every one of my teams. I feel bad. I reached for him in our invitational, but pick number 50. That's how bad I went. And I actually paired him with JD Martinez because exactly like you said, they're like the same person. So if I can get the exact carbon copy, I needed to pair them back up. And I'm all about that. Chris Davis having a monster year again.
Yeah, you got yourself the Bash Brothers there. All right, so good stuff. That was a good pick, Andrew, for sure. Everybody's kind of in agreement that's an undervalue. All right, moving on to Dave. Who do you got for us?
Yeah, my undervalued pick is Edwin Encarnacion. It amazes me how far he's fallen from the last 3 years in his ADP. You know, as a similar to what Andrew just did, I compare him to like a Jose Abreu, who was going at minimum a full round earlier than Encarnacion in all drafts. And over the last 6 years, Encarnacion has better stats across the board than Jose Abreu in every single category except for average. And a lot of leagues are moving from average to on base percentage, where Encarnacion actually has a benefit over Abreu. So both of them are over the age of 30. Yeah, E5's got a few years on him, but it's not like Abreu's, you know, 26 or 27 where he's going to improve even more. So it just amazes me how far he's fallen, and especially in comparison to some of the first going for him.
Yeah, you know, I, for me, I think on E5, the discount is coming from the start that he had, the 2017. And, I mean, it was bad. It was... You know, a lot of 0-for-4s, 0-for-5s with no stats. So that could be fresh in people's minds. Obviously, the age, like you said, you know, I think at that price, he's not a bad deal at all. Andrew, JR, anything on Edwin Encarnacion?
One of my favorite things about Edwin Encarnacion is that he goes ice cold at the start of every year, and he kills it for like 1 month, starting typically in about between June, sometime between mid-May and July. So when you play in head-to-head leagues, he is the best guy to go and target and play on. Oh, he's getting old. I think he's probably dropped off the map and go and buy low on after that first month and a half when he's ice cold and he's hitting like 190. Cause I live about an hour from Toronto. So I've seen like enough of this year after year that it's there. It's consistent. It might just be the cold weather. I mean, Corey Kluber does the same, where he's typically terrible in April, but by like July he's the best pitcher in the league. So,
yeah, I mean, nobody wants to play baseball, in 50 degree weather in early April.
Yeah, I mean, when you're traveling around playing night games in, like, you know, Chicago and Detroit, yep. New York, Boston, you know, and you still got snow flying sometimes. That's not when you're probably from the Dominican. That's not what you're looking forward to every year.
No, not at all. And you know, the thing I like about Cleveland is every year, I mean, they don't, I mean, I guess E5 was a little bit splashy. You know, he was a big dollar pickup, but they get better every year. Just they add a little something. And this year, you know, they got Yonder Alonso taking a lot of the pressure off of E5. So that's a nice.
Remember back like in the early, I was going to say, remember back in the early 2000s when you would just put a first baseman in and set it and forget it? Like, Encarnacion's like Carlos Delgado to me, like back in the early part of the 2000s. You could just put him in there and you're getting your 35 and 100 to 120 every year, and it doesn't matter. Just leave him and forget it.
All right, and then finally we got JR. Who do you have for us undervalued?
I actually misread, and I actually did an overvalued one. So I did an overvalued pick of Elvis Andrews, who is an ADP of right around 60 right now. Is it just me, or is everyone reaching for a guy who only had a 2020 year once ever in the big leagues? In 2015, he had 7 home runs and 25 steals, which is good. And then in 2016, he had 8 home runs and 24 steals. And then all of a sudden, last year came along, and he had his 20 home run season. Yeah, he batted .297, but has that ever happened before? Is that some reason to now just draft this guy in the top 60 when you could wait, you know, 16 to 20 picks later and get Gene Segura, who's going to give you the exact same numbers probably and might even really overproduce compared to Andrews? So I just think someone like Elvis Andrews going in the top 60, even the top 75 part of a draft is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you know, I was a slow believer in Andrews, but I think he started to show that the skills were legit. And I think it's Ron Chandler that says, once you've shown a skill, you own it. So he's shown that he's got that power. We're in the juice ball era. Got enough of these baseballs that are slightly more bouncy to probably last through most of this season. You know, pitchers are attacking in a way that's feeding into that. And managers are okay with players using this, you know, 3 true outcomes approach with uppercut swings. So I would disagree with you there, JR. I think he's actually fairly reasonable to continue those stats.
So you're expecting another 20 home run season from Elvis Andrews?
I think in this day and age, 20 home runs is not a lot to hit for a full-time player.
So then couldn't you just kind of wait till like Michael Taylor and like the late 200s, who's going to hit, you know, 13 to 18 homers, you know, swipe 20 to 25 bases? Isn't that like the same player almost, but we're talking almost 200 picks later.
Yeah, but Michael Taylor doesn't play shortstop.
Exactly. And that's the problem.
I don't know. I think the 11.6% home run fly ball rate is going to be tough for Andrews to sustain. I know the ball starts flying out in Texas come when it starts heating up, but I mean, I'm with JR on this. I think he's going way overvalued. Because I mean, what do you think the difference is going to be between Andrus and Orlando Arcia? Like, I think they're going to be closer than people think, and you're looking at probably 100 picks different.
Yeah, and I guess the argument I would make there is the floors are similar, but the ceilings are not. I think Andrus has a much higher ceiling than Arcia. Arcia is a nice little player, but you know he's got a lot of growing to do before he's in that same conversation.
Yeah, I just think like the ceiling, what you saw last year, likely was the ceiling for Andrus. I mean, he's not last year. He's 29. Going to be, you know, 30 by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's like, if you're expecting him to grow to like 30 steals or 25 home runs, like, I think that's probably asking quite a bit. And I mean, home runs have gone up about like 6% from 16 to 17. I mean, I guess maybe the approach has changed, but I don't know. I love to see the history of it to really cement it in my mind, especially when you're picking in the top 100. So maybe it's just my own aversion to risk.
Yeah, I do think it would be a mistake. You know, people kind of have an issue with just assuming, okay, last year there was this amount of growth, so this year I can expect even more growth. And you know, that's a bit of a fallacy, because it could have easily been a career year. It could have been a factor like a juiced baseball, some other performance enhancement. So there are
you know, I feel like it's a classic case of recency bias.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it is a steep price to pay, and probably not one I'm willing to pay right there where he's going, but not too far off.
Look, JR, with the unit said last year that he was in the 150s or 160s.
Yeah.
That's quite the jump. That is a pretty recency bias. And I think before last year, he had extremely similar numbers for, you know, consistent numbers across the board, but just not that 20 home runs really pushed him up.
No. All right, so let's move on to our toss-up here. Let me do some quick totaling. All right, I've got Andrew in the lead, followed by Dave by just a point there. So JR, yeah, gave it a good effort, but you're not going to be able to defend your round table crown. I'm going to mute you, and we'll get you back on at the end.
No doubt. Go get them, boys.
Dave and Andrew, do either of you guys have a feeling on where you want to be for the Hosmer toss-up? Andrew, since you had the most points, you could pick the side if you want.
I'm going to take the over side of the ADP. Or sorry, yeah, that's fine. I'll take the over.
So you want to fade Eric Hosmer?
Yeah.
All right. So you go ahead and give that argument, Dave. Go ahead and get your rebuttal ready for why you think Eric Hosmer is a good price. Go ahead, Andrew.
All right. So Eric Hosmer is overpriced because there is not a single proven bat inside of this lineup outside of Will Myers, who is yet to prove he can stay healthy when he's not playing first base. So with Hosmer taking over first base and Myers going to the outfield, I think it's pretty hard to say that he's actually in a better lineup now than he was when he was with the Royals, when he at least had Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain batting in front of him or around him. It seems silly to me to say, like, well, they've got Manny Margot and Hunter Renfroe and Freddie Galvis. Those aren't names that make me think.
Hey, former Philly Freddie Galvis is a really underrated player.
Absolutely, but he is not striking fear in anyone's heart.
Not at all. Not at all.
Probably not even his children's. So, I just don't see it. Like, is he going to hit 300? He'll probably be right around it, but the counting stats aren't going to be there. And the ballpark, I think, is the same. It's equally neutral, so it's not as if there's any reason to think he's going to suddenly explode for 35 or 40 home runs.
All right, Dave, go ahead and tell us why we should take Eric Hosmer.
I think that he's probably just about right where he should be, because – I can't remember if it was you, the JR, as you, Mike, that said it's been proven for most players that the lineup really doesn't factor into most players' counting stats or their overall value to a team or in the long run of a season. He's really been a similar player for quite some time now. And, you know, Andrew mentioned before, the park factor is not going to be any different. So, you know, what he did last year, once he showed that he hit for 300 average, hopefully he can keep that batting average on the on balls in play that he had last year. That'll reduce some, but he can go down 20 points and his average is still be a 300 hitter for a first baseman that you're getting usually in, what is that, the sixth, seventh round range. You know, you're going to wait on, I mentioned Miguel Cabrera earlier, you're going to wait on Will Myers. Hosmer is probably the last first baseman that you're going to get that is going to give you solid value. And the fact that he doesn't have the power, if you're getting him in that round, that means you grab probably a JD Martinez or something like that, that you can get that extra power from. So where he can make give you value, he's going to get you that value.
So I find myself this preseason becoming the Hosmer guy, mostly because most people are down on him. And I took him in the Invitational. I got him at 90th overall. So, you know, about a round after this ADP. And I think that is the approach to take with him. If you can get him at a slightly better value, I would like it a lot better, because he's not going to give you anything elite in a single category. He's just an across-the-board contributor. So after the arguments, I'm going to side with Andrew by a little bit. Andrew, you're our winner. You're going to get to tell us who you think is overvalued. Dave, stick around. We'll be right back on with you. So give us an overvalue between 26 and 75. Obviously not Eric Hosmer.
Sure. I'm going, for entertainment's sake, I'm going to go with Ohtani.
You know, I considered him for the toss-up, and I said he's just too much of a lightning rod. We would never get anywhere on him. So I'm kind of glad you picked him.
All right. So, so Shohei Ohtani's my pick. Way overvalued at 73.4. He's got a torn UCL. He's in a six-man rotation. He's going to try to hit three times a week. What part of this doesn't add up well? I mean, can he hit major league pitching? I'm not sure he can. Can he stay healthy? I'm not sure he can, as I don't remember the last Japanese pitcher who has stayed healthy since they came into the major leagues. Yeah. Like, there's just a lot of things that at that price point don't look right. Like, what's the maximum number of innings you're going to get from him? 120, 125? If you're lucky and the UCL doesn't tear. I get the slider's sick, and probably the best in the majors are certainly among them. He's going to strike some guys out, but he's got a lot of adjustments to make. He's a young guy. He's in the U.S. for the first time. He's going to be dealing with the travel schedule for the first time, and it doesn't add up well for me. Like, I think he's going probably 50 picks higher than I would be comfortable taking him. Because the upside's just not there. He's not going to get even qualify for like the ERA title or a batting title. The volume just doesn't add up to you getting value on Shohei Ohtani.
Right. Yeah. I think Ohtani, the pitcher, is going to be a much better player, at least in the near term, than Ohtani, the hitter. The one thing that worries me a lot with him at the plate is, and I read a piece, I forget who wrote it, but they said basically Japanese pitchers were kind of avoiding pitching him inside. One, because he's got ridiculous pull power, but two, because they didn't want to be the guy who hit Ohtani and you know, broke his wrist. It's a much different game over here. There's people who are going to just make their living pitching you inside and pushing you back. So if you think you're going to get a decent split from him at the plate in the first half, you got another thing coming. On the pitching, he's going to be good for strikeouts. The UCL does worry me, Andrew. I think you're right on that. I think you saw in his spring training so far, like, you're going to get a Jekyll and Hyde with him when he's pitching, because he can strike anyone out when he's motivated to. He can also serve up some homer balls. So I agree with you. It's a little bit too much of a leap of faith in the top 100 for me. I'd be happy to take him right around pick 100. But where would you say you would first consider him?
I think it'd be probably 120-ish range. I mean, at least at that point, I can say, you know what, if the Angels wise up and say, you know what, Choi, we gave you the opportunity to bat, it's not working out. Like, we need you to pitch more often. We're going to go back to a 5-man rotation and you're not going to hit anymore. Then you could at least see like 150, 160 inning pitch upside, which would greatly benefit your strikeouts and your wins. But like for me, it's got to be somewhere in that range, give or take, you know, probably 10 picks.
Gotcha. All right. Well, there you go. Shohei Ohtani, slightly overvalued, according to Andrew Dewhurst. Going to bring back in JR and Dave here. All right, guys, that wraps it up. Thanks for being with me tonight. Let's go around the horn. Just remind people where they can find you on Twitter. And if you have any work coming out, Andrew, kick us off.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst. Dropped the first half of a fairly long article today, offering the downside of all of the pitch, all of the hitters I took in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. Hopefully I'll get the pitcher's half out next week. Still dropping weekly hockey articles for another few weeks till that season wraps up. And you can look for me on the Monday podcast with Chuck Anderson and Justin Mason.
Good stuff. And, you know, self-awareness as a fantasy player is a huge part of being competitive throughout the season. So that's cool that you did that. All right, Dave, go ahead and let us know where you're at.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Find me on Twitter at BrewCrewPep. And you can find my work on Friends of FantasyBenefits.com. I plan to have some articles up here soon comparing some of the Tracks 10 Fangraphs drafts that I've been a part of. And once the Fantasy Baseball Invitational draft is complete, I definitely plan on putting out some content on that as well. It's been one of the most fun drafts I've ever been a part of. So I think it's going to create great fodder and content throughout the whole year.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, the Invitational is definitely occupying most of my waking hours at the moment.
Absolutely.
All right, JR, go ahead and hit us with your handle.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me again. Twitter's at JohnRussell215. And it's baseball season, so, you know, we're all busy as heck doing all this to make sure the site's the best it can be, and we're all in these leagues, so all busy right now.
Yeah, I'm about 20 days till opening day, so it's going to be here before we know it. That's all we got time for, guys. Thanks for being here, and good luck in your seasons.